Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
East River 9, the spot to be, the River House at East River 9. Always a great spot to get your weekend started early. Always a great spot to have a bite. Great spot to have a drink. Great spot to play at nine holes. DJ Bienemy joining us now on the HRMP guest line live and in person. DJ, you can follow him on Twitter. DJ Bienemy covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. DJ, what was the most surprising cut to you when the Texans trimmed it down to 53 on Tuesday?
I would say easily Noah Brown, right? Like, I had been saying for weeks that Noah Brown was going to make the squad. I was saying that for weeks because I thought with the guarantees, along with what he did last year with those two games, even Nick Casario mentioned recently that he kind of wandled them those two games. He went for, as he said, quote, a million yards, end quote. So them losing Noah Brown, like them cutting Noah Brown, that spoke to, like, Noah didn't practice all of August. And them having the gall to, like, cut a guy for that. Because I remember last year, Brevin Jordan didn't practice that much in training camp, and he still made the team. So I think that also speaks to the depth and the talent that this team has now compared to last year, where last year they couldn't just cut a guy because he wasn't practicing. This year they legitimately could because, right, like, we know what Noah could do, but we know what his ceiling is kind of capped out at, right? It's like basically a 500-yard type of guy. You can anticipate, you know, Mechie or Hutch. They can get you something like that, or combined, they can get you something like that, where you still get some of the explosiveness, the dynamic ability that Noah could give you at times as a fourth, fifth receiver. So I think it speaks to how much this team has added talent to where a guy doesn't practice, you're not going to make this team just like C.J. Henderson.
Okay, DJ, that, and I love what you're saying in terms of the depth. And you and I had talked about passing in the hallway the other day. Are you not surprised then, but because they've had so much depth, or are you telling me it's because they have so much depth that they haven't looked at linebacker? You knew Harris now because he's going to be out for a little bit. You knew that he was one of the guys, along with Al Shaair, that were going to really solidify that defensive, that second unit, that second line of defense in the defense. And I thought that that would be one position they'd be looking externally to try and find some backup for, and they haven't yet to do that.
Yeah, I think that's more of a D'Amico thing, right, where like I think D'Amico thing, he could just coach these guys up. And put them in position to succeed because, to be fair, in this defense, I've seen a lot of guys that were viewed as – that weren't high draft picks have success in this defense, whether it's Quincy Wilson – not Quincy Wilson, but Quincy Williams with the New York Jets. The Jets got him right after, I think, cut day, I think in 2021, and he became an all-pro player by, like, year two and a half, right? He was all-pro player in 2023, right? Aziz was undrafted, came into the system with the San Francisco 49ers in 2019, and now look at him now, right? So, like, you know, Dre Greenlaw, he was a fifth-round pick, and now he's one of the best linebackers in this league. So I think this is them betting on their system, betting on what this system can do for linebackers, especially since D'Amico is a former linebacker. So I think that can also help him teach exactly what he wants from his linebackers since he's been in that position, and he's been coaching the system for so long. I think that there's a good chance that he's banking on internal development.
DJ Bienemy joining us on the HRNP guest line. DJ, what about the outside corners? Outside of, look, and hopefully you don't have to see those guys, right? Because they feel good about Stingley. They feel good about Lassiter. Kept Akuda, cut Henderson. What do you think about the depth of that position?
I think that depth there is solid. I think if one of them had to miss a game, Jeff Okuda could step in and be kind of like a Shaq Griffin. From last year, Shaq, you know, was able to catch an interception against the Bengals, I remember, to almost seal that game before they almost blew the game. But I think that the depth there Because I think, man, a cornerback, it's kind of, to me, is a little bit like quarterback. Your backups just, there's going to be a drop-off from the starters to the backups for the most part, mainly because they're just not that many viable. Because, again, a quarterback, you know, there's not, I don't think there's 32 good quarterbacks in the league, obviously. Obviously, with two starting corners on the outside, there's not 64 good ones. That's just a position that's hard to find. So with your backups, if guys go down, you just want a guy that can go out there and not give up explosives, right? That can make sure that they can hold their, you know, deep cover three area well. Obviously, if they go quarters, be able to not give up explosives. Because the system is pretty simplistic, right? According to, you know, Derek Thune told me in this defense, we just kind of focus on one, maybe two keys, and we don't got to really think too much. And I think whoever steps in there, as long as they don't give up explosives, they'll be fine. Because the last thing you want from your cornerbacks is to give up explosives. I mean, I was playing flag football last night. We were holding the team real tight. And then one of our cornerbacks, they gave up a big explosive when time was running out in the first half. That had me upset. But you know, the goal is to just not give up explosives.
And you couldn't blame Paul. He wasn't there. So with that being said, you've got outside corner that Jeremy talked about. We've got Petrie moving around and being more now the nickel than a safety. We know that offensive line, you could use some depth. Are you surprised they haven't gone out more to kind of bring somebody in after camps of other teams? And if they would still be active or looking, which position group would you think that they would look for to first?
I think, and I can always blame Paul. When he doesn't show up for my flat football team, I can always blame him.
Oh, we do it too. Don't worry.
I would say when it comes to, look, you know, just looking on the landscape, I would always say offensive line. You know, I'm always stick there, man. Because I think that's the only thing that can truly derail this season from getting to where you want to get it to. I think you can never have enough bodies there. That's why, you know, that's probably after quarterback. It's right there with cornerback in terms of scarcity. I think it's probably less there. I think to continue to look there, mainly because if guys, let's say Laramie goes down, Titus goes, and again, you know, we can go back, start from 2020 to now. They've both missed time, right? Like whether it's extended, short, they've all missed time at some point. So you want to have guys in there that can step in and do what they have to do. Because last year we saw, like, literally every offensive lineman outside of Shaq got hurt, right? Like, at one point they were down to their third-string center, right? Actually, in reality, if my math is correct, really, like, I mean, you had Scott Quinsberry. He got hurt. Juice got hurt.
Yeah.
Jared Patterson got hurt. You know, like, at certain points, you know, you had Michael Dieter out there. So, overall, I think that depth on the offensive line. I think that offensively, after seeing what I've been seeing right lately, you know, I practice towards the end of camp, the offense is going to click. Obviously, they'll have some rough periods because every offense does, but I think it's going to be an offense that's going to average 25 points per game minimum. I think that's the floor. And, you know, the only thing that can derail that is bad offensive line play.
What do you think the pass-rush ratio is in that offense that averages that?
Pass-rush ratio in the offense. I think it'll be like 60-40. I think them cutting Andrew Beck kind of signaled that they're going to be more of a 11-12 team. Mm-hmm. Like, they go 21. They'll just put one of the tight ends at fullback. It'll probably be Cade there. And then just kind of do what you got to do there. But I think they're going to lean into their personnel, which is – I think we'll see more 11 personnel, three receivers. I think they could be roughly like in the – I want to say 70 percentile in that area, yeah, which would be close to the top of the league. I think, you know, they'll start 12, have moments where they go 12, obviously have moments to go 21, but I think 11 is going to be their thing. You know what I mean? I think 11 is going to be their thing.
So Jeremy and I were kicking around this a little bit after Cam made the squad with the fact that, you know, they're still high on Pierce.
Yeah.
Is it going to be where Pierce is going to have every opportunity to secure the second running back position until he doesn't? Or is it that Cam showed you enough that he's warranted that he, especially in the passing game too, that he should be a part of what they're going to do behind Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I agree with the latter because Cam doesn't give you anything on special teams. So if he's active, he's just not going to have a jersey just to have a jersey, right? Like, you got to read between those tea leaves. Damien does give you something in the special team. He could be your kick returner along with Stephen Sims. But if Cam is active, he's most likely going to be used because it's not like he does any – he's not a gunner. He's not a kick returner. He's not a punt returner. He's not going to be on kickoff blocking. So if he's active, you're going to use him. So I think he's going to have a decent shot to, like, get some reps at running back too, right? Because we do need to see him with the ones, well, not the ones, but with the starting offense, kind of, you know, going against starting defenses, because we got to see was what he did in preseason a byproduct of going against guys that are probably now selling insurance, right? Or was it a byproduct of, you know, his vision and his quickness, right? Because I think vertically, you know, you pop two Achilles, like, it's going to be hard for you to still have that. But I still think his lateral ability, which is very valuable in this scheme, is going to be – it's something that could, you know, benefit this offense a lot, to where, like, it could be a first and 10. He's out there. It might not look good, but he might not be able to get you 15, but he can get you 5, and you're still on track and you're still on schedule.
DJ Bieniemy joining us at East River 9 inside the River House. Looking at the ESPN Top 100 players, a couple of things, yep, that surprised me. Diggs over Nico, and then Anderson over Danielle Hunter. At the end of the year, which of those two is more likely to be true?
All right, so the voting there is a little wonky, but I'll leave it at that. Don't want to get in trouble. But I think I think Stephon to start the year will be the number one in terms of targets, right? Because he's going to be in the slot, so he's going to get his fair share of targets. But I think that Nico is going to be more dynamic, and he's going to feel more like the one towards the end of the year. And when it comes to Will and Daniil, I don't know if I'm ready to say that Will's going to be better than Daniil in his second year, because Daniil is coming off of 16.5 sacks. He's obviously a very dynamic pass rusher. He's multiple time all pro. So it's going to be hard for me to make that leap. But I still think, you know, I think I'll say this, it'll be a discussion, but I still think it'll be more Daniil than Will.
So just wrapping it up, the Joe Mixon conversation.
Yep.
The fact that we know that they could have a passing attack that's effective regardless of the running, yes, game. But mm-hmm, what you've seen him more than we have. You know that, you know, he didn't get anything in the preseason, but we're not too worried about that. But as long as he's healthy, what should we expect from Joe Mixon in this, in terms of his production in this offense?
I think the expectation, the standard for him should be to average over 4.2 yards per carry. I think that should be the goal. That should be the standard. Because if it's anything under 4, he's going to see light boxes. So that's what I'm saying. It can't even be 4. It got to be like more like 4.2, 4.3. Because you're going to see light boxes, right? So if he's able to utilize that and is able to, you know, keep teams, have to make teams respect the fact that they can run the football, then that's only going to open everything up. It's going to have defenses kind of like having to pick their poison, right? And again, a lot of it's going to fall on Bobby to not make it predictable in that regard. But once we see that, you know, for me, it's going to be, he's going to have to average. Because I don't want to put necessarily a yard mark percentage, you know what I'm saying, like 1,000 or 1,100 or whatever. Because let's say CJ's cooking, right, and he's on pace to throw for 5,000 yards. You're not going to need Joe Mixon to hit 1,000 yards rushing. But if he can give you like 4.3, 4.2, 4.4, now you can have that balance to where, like, if the game is a little muddy, you know you can hand the ball off to Joe, and he's going to be able to get you what you need.
Yeah, I like that number, too. I think it's better than – because it also factors in if he has to miss a couple of games because of injury. It's like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I like where your mind's at on that. DJ, appreciate, yep, the time. Enjoy your last weekend off-ish, man, prior to getting it going next week.
Man, it's here, you know. This team thinks they can win a
go
Super
time.
Bowl. It's go time. You know, enough of the fluff. And now we can actually get to the actual real football. You know, it's going to be in a hostile environment next week. It'll be a lot of fun, and that's all we can ask for, right? Something fun to cover.
Yeah, exactly. We appreciate you jumping on. Look forward to our conversation next week. DJ Bieniemy, you can follow him on Twitter. DJ Bieniemy covers it for ESPN, ESPN.com, and does great work. Make sure you follow along for what should be a fun journey for the Houston Texans in 2024. 713-780-ESPN. Brandon Ayuk is a Niner. He didn't budge. The Niners didn't on that contract. And what were the Niners thinking about doing in case they had to trade him? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.